Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
Thank you, Dave. Man, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful day here today. And I see here that I might have played the outro music instead. I like this. We're changing things up a little bit. Didn't expect that. Daoud Saeed in the background here. Wherever it is that you're listening from today, I sure hope it's a great day. We have sunshine here, but it's also windy and cold. But it sure isn't going to be like that when you're listening to the music and hearing who we have this day. The much acclaimed guitarist Joshua Breakstone is with us next hour. He's got a new CD that's really creating some buzz. If you like the intricacies, the magnitude, the technical expertise, along with the passion of guitar, this is right up your alley. Joshua has been called very similar to Wes Montgomery in the way he approaches guitar. He has been lauded from critical sources that really don't praise a whole lot. So this is going to be great. Our second time, actually, with Joshua on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. So that's going to be great. And then in the third hour of the show, and we just really planned this in the past couple of days, less than 48 hours, Matthew Schell, producer extraordinaire, is going to be here with Kenny McNeil talking about Kenny and Sydney Alexander's new single called Inspire Me. So it's going to be a pretty doggone cool show. Lots of exciting things in the air, including the CD release party this Sunday from Winslow Dynasty. Dante was just with us on Tuesday. Can we play another track? You know why? Because we love Baltimore. That's where we do this show. And this is called Baltimore Crab Cakes from Enter the Dynasty on Hybrid Jazz.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome Dante Winslow and the Winslow Dynasty.
Thank you.
Well, you know what? Just like folks are able to tell when they go to Facebook, especially in the morning, that I love to post photos of coffee and the beach. So some have been able to glean that I really like this album still from 2011, Terry Lynn Carrington's award-winning Mosaic Project. All females. All, baby. And Gretchen Parlato, another award winner right there, does a beautiful job of that classic, I Got Lost in His Arms. Man, when that first came on the scene, nobody expected an up-tempo version of that tune. And then when we heard it, it's as if we heard it for the first time, because she's just like that. Now, a couple of things about Gretchen. I confess that I did not know one of these. I certainly knew about the Live in New York City release of some months ago. I did not know that Dad is touring with the Grandmothers of Invention. Oh, yeah. Look up Gretchen Parlato's Dad and see his work with Frank Zappa. You will be really surprised in the best way. And then what I did not know, to top it all off, is that Gretchen is very pregnant, and she's taking a maternity leave. I have to catch up on what is happening with this girl, because I'm the last to know, apparently. But the last picture that I saw of her on her Facebook like page, woo, she is really, really big. And Gretchen, God love you. I am so happy for you, and I know you're looking forward to mommydom. So we'll keep you posted on that. Man, we should have an update. Maybe since she's going to be at home, maybe she can spend a little time while the baby's napping and be on Hyper Jazz. That would be awesome. Flora Purim, we heard from 1976, from Nothing Will Be As It Was Tomorrow. This was jazz fusion at its finest. Angels is the song that you heard from Earth, Wind, and Fire's Al McKay and Philip Bailey. Just so amazing to consider Flora Purim. She turned 72 on the 6th of March, not hearing a whole bunch from her, and I don't think that is necessarily a subject for concern, but I always like to keep up on those who have paved such a way. And of course, she is always going to be close to a lot of our hearts because of her deep and abiding friendship with George Duke, who is on this particular album, along with Leon Indugo Chinkler. And I love the idea that Flora had a deep relationship with Dizzy Gillespie, learned so much from him. They shared a particular spirituality. She has pictures in her home of Dizzy and what impact he made on her. She really has set a precedent for so many females who not only love Brazilian music, but the courage displayed by Flora Purim. If you can get a hold of some research about her, you'll find out exactly what I mean. She was one of those champions for so many of us. Up against the government either, as well. I didn't mean to say either, but Flora has this rich history. Her background, her mother and father, that particular religion, and then as she morphed into her own evolution and her marriage, and then as time went on, she's one of these characters that we love to put on a bit of a pedestal, even though every human being has his or her own shortcomings. We all fall short. There's only one perfect being, and it just seems that in this day and age, this particular show host is going to be focusing more on females. With that said, the Winslow Dynasty started us all off, and thank you to Mashika Winslow, who was able to put the interview together with her wonderful husband, Dante. That was on Tuesday. We heard Baltimore Crab Cakes. Of course, we're going to hear something like that from Baltimore's own Dante, who has a CD release party in the Lutherville Timonium area this Sunday at Magoobies. You can go to winslowdynasty.com, find out about Enter the Dynasty, the name of this new CD. It's going to be the release party, and you'll see that they truly do believe, honest to goodness, more than most folks, changing lives through music. That's clearly on their website. Love to think about the success story of this young man who just turned 40 last week. And thank you to Justin Timberlake for throwing him a little party after their gig in Boston. Yay! Another birthday. Let's get to it, shall we, before Joshua Breakstone at the top of next hour. Woohoo! Terrence Blanchard is celebrating this very day. So much to celebrate. Honestly, it's just impossible to relay the success of this man because he knows how to do it all. Plays, movie music, what he is able to mentor through the years. Many different folks will say, raising their hand, what Terrence Blanchard did for me, I cannot say. This is from Magnetic from just last year. Title track. Woo, is it hot? Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy continues. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Compliment what she does, send her roses just because. If it's violin she loves, let them play. Dedicate her favorite song and hold. Memory. If you need her so much more, why don't you say? Maybe she has it in her mind that she's just wasting her time. Ask her to stay.
Play that song especially for Micah Chevalier, who has a special little spark for James Ingram because it turns out that they are kin. Yes, it's just a small world, and it's getting smaller all the time, isn't it? Now, Micah is going to be doing a show at Bethesda Blues and Jazz coming up very soon. BethesdaBluesJazz.com has the information where to get tickets, etc. That's going to be on the 19th. Got to get that plug in there. Got to plug James Ingram, too, especially in this case with 100 Ways, because that was from 1981's The Dude CD. Whoo! Lord have mercy, was that a big, big musical project. And we absolutely have to play a song because of Quincy Jones, the mastermind of all of this, because Quincy Delight Jones is going to be turning 81 tomorrow. So make sure that you send him regards. He's got a big old Facebook page, and this is what you can expect from him. I'm so excited to hear about this. Just found this out within 24 hours. First of all, I knew that he was continuing to work with our friend Alfredo Rodriguez. And Alfredo's got a new project out called The Invasion Parade. He is so quirky. Love him. Esperanza Spalding is on it with him. And then Quincy has a hand in this movie that's going to be shown at the Tribeca Film Festival on the 19th of April. It's called Keep On Keepin' On. It's about the relationship of a young blind artist who partners with Clark Terry, the jazz legend who is 93 and has been through his challenges through the past few years. Now, here's the intriguing and very moving part. The documentary has been ongoing for I'm not sure how long now, but this relationship between this young man and Clark is such that it takes a turn because Clark, when he was feeling better, was mentoring him, and then Clark fell into more of a health scenario, and now Clark is blind. So it deepened the relationship between this young man who already was and Clark Terry. I just can't wait to hear more about it. I, again, am just finding this out. It's called Keep On Keeping On. And it's going to be at the Tribeca Film Festival. So, Quincy, I know you're so proud because as so many things that have come our way through the years, Q has a hand in this. So I know that Clark has been a mentor for Quincy way back when, and I know that they keep in touch. Quincy has deep bonds with people. And once he has a bond with you, time and space do not get in the way. So that's going to be real interesting to see that unfold. Stanley Turrentine and Shirley Scott, whew, had to get back to the 60s for that. Hope you don't mind. They were married in 1960, and through that decade, they made some great music, including Rapid Shave, which you heard, from Priceless Jazz 29. Now, you can also find that on Masquenada, Samba, Bossa, and Jazz. That was a project out, I'm not sure when. There's a little bit of a mystery about that project. It also features a whole bunch of artists like Sergio Mendez, Astor Gilberto, Antonio Carlos Jobim, Dexter Gordon, Ramsey Lewis. It's really fascinating, but had to play something from Shirley Scott especially. Like the idea of playing something with Stanley. It is the memory of Shirley Scott's birthday tomorrow. One of the best in organ that ever was. So when she and Stan got together, it was some magic, wasn't it? Love to hear it. Love to do that segue from new to old or vice versa. To start the set, it was Terrence Blanchard. Magnetic on this particular album from just last year. Kendrick Scott, Fabian Almazan, Bryce Winston, Joshua Crumbly, Ron Carter is on this particular musical extravaganza, as is Robbie Coltrane. And I had to play something from Terrence because it's his birthday today. So Terrence, happy birthday to you. He is off to Mexico, then to New York, then to L.A., Florida, Detroit, and Europe. Going to be doing a big thing in D.C., the Blue Notes having a birthday. So you make sure that you get in touch with the Kennedy Center and find out about that. Got a couple of songs more to go before Joshua Breakstone at the top of the hour. Have to play something by one of Joshua's inspirations when he started his career many years ago. It's interesting that a guitar, how shall I describe Joshua? Someone who is at one with a guitar has inspiration from somebody who plays with such emotion on the sax. Charlie Parker from 1950, from Charlie Parker with Strings on Hyper Jazz. Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Thank you. Perfect groove that we need on this day in March. I am not kidding you. Put a bookmark in that thought. I'm going to tell you who that was in a minute. I must say that right before the song that you just heard there, and I saw your head bopping, by the way, we played right before Charlie Parker from Charlie Parker with Strings. Actually, this was from two albums from Mercury back in 1949 and 1950. But Verve combined them in 1995 and put them out there, some of the most popular work that Charlie Parker ever did. He wanted to do something so badly, he had to talk his label into it, and they finally said, sure, he wanted to do something with Strings. So you heard the standard, Just Friends. Wow, so nice. And it's so cool that our guest that you're about to hear had these inspirations back many years ago when he had started this journey with guitar, which has certainly been quite successful for him. In his head, he heard what really thrilled him about Lee Morgan and Clifford Brown. And then, besides the trumpet part of this fervor that he had, he felt the emotion of Charlie Parker on the saxophone, and he had this wonderfully wild idea that if he combined the technique of what he heard with Lee and Clifford and the emotion of Charlie, if he could translate that to guitar, wouldn't that be something? And by God, didn't he do it? The amazingly successful, much-respected guitarist Joshua Breakstone is here with us. Joshua, how are you?
Trish, I'm great. How about yourself?
I'm really good. I hear the smile in your voice. I hear it. You can't deny it.
I get it when I hear your voice. You give it to me.
Oh, cash your check, baby. What do you want?
I don't need a check from you. I'm just happy to talk to you.
I'm happy to talk to you, too. Let me tell you something. I'm listening to With the Wind and the Rain, this new CD of yours, and I really dig the way you did that Keeter Betts song, Some Kind of Mean. I love it.
Yeah. Well, man. I love that tune, you know, and that comes from that whole era when bassists were looking to have a chance to come out front of the group for a minute. And so what they tended to do, starting with Oscar Pettiford and Harry Babson, when we go way back in jazz history, is that they tend to take up the cello. And that's why we have those great records with Oscar Pettiford and, like I said, Harry Babson, but then guys like Red Mitchell and Sam Jones, and it's from a Sam Jones recording that I first became aware of that Keeter Betts tune, Some Kind of Mean. Of course, Keeter Betts is down sort of towards your area. He was a Washington, D.C. bassist.
Absolutely.
And, so we have a whole line of bass players having a chance to get out front for a minute instead of being the supporting instrument, and that's really the line of in a historical sense that this recording comes from.
And I have to say to you that I just checked to make sure this was true, but you know you need to be friends with Keeter Betts on Facebook because he's fairly active as far as his Facebook page is concerned. And I just love the idea that when you get to be of a certain age in jazz, and if you're still with us, God willing, you just you remain on fire, and that's the way you're going to be in years to come, because you got this bug early, and you've just been so innovative through the years. I really have done some research about you, Joshua, in the past few weeks, and you really have made such a name for yourself. People are so caught up in the way that you creatively change your courting, that you are reminiscent to a large extent of Wes Montgomery, but you have paved this way for yourself in such a way that you always strive for that next level of artistry. I'm reading the reviews for With the Wind and the Rain, and you must be really happy about those reviews, huh?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's nice to have the nice reviews, and you know, when I was with now I'm with Capri, which is a great label, and I love them totally. But you know, when I was with Contemporary, which at that time was one of the one or two or three biggest labels in the world, you know, we used to have all these reviews come in, and I never looked at them. I mean, I feel like if I knew then what I know now, I would have taken advantage of some of that support and love I was getting from the writers and all of that. But so I never used to look at any of this stuff. I'm seeing this stuff now, but you know, I really appreciate all those kind words and all the support. But you know, I still sort of think that maybe my job is just to play the music and not worry too much about all that other stuff, you know?
And that is why it's funny that you should say what you just said, because I saw a particular passage that described you as having an understated eloquence. So you just confirmed what this particular reviewer had to say. And I think this, an artist who has a strong sense of humility as far as the musicianship is concerned, lends himself or herself to more authenticity. So that just says to me why I like your music so much, because you always feel like the truth when I hear you.
Well, I mean, that's the greatest compliment that I could possibly receive, and I really appreciate that. And you know, it's funny because now with Trish, there's not a, you don't have a commercial motivation to what you program on your station. It's all coming from the heart and from love. And but you have to face the fact that in the reality of the way things are today, a lot of the stations, even I'm talking really about the world of jazz radio. You know, they're playing things that you know, it's got a commercial motivation in many directions, and I don't even want to get into that. I'm sure you understand. I'm sure your listeners understand much of what I'm talking about. But the last few nights, I've been listening over the internet. You know, now we can stream, and I've been listening to a guy out in Kansas Public Radio, Bob McWilliams, and he's got this show, and I don't spend a lot of time, because of that whole commercial bent of the radio these days, I don't spend a lot of time with the radio, but I've been listening to him because he is able to, like you, program his show just the way he wants to, the way it used to be, where the people on the radio used to play what they thought was great, what they were excited about, what they loved, what they thought was beautiful, what they thought was important. And I've been listening to him. And you know, there's some great stuff coming out. There's some other stuff that I could pass on. Everybody's got their own taste and their own point of view, and that's fine. But I hear so many things that it seems like the motivation is just, I don't know, to be flashy or to be eye grabbing or to I don't know, any of those kinds of things. And if you say that, you know, maybe I have a certain subtlety, I'm not sure about that, but if I do, it's just because I just care about the music, you know, and I don't care about that flashiness or
yes.
commerciality or anything. I'm trying to go back to the roots. And when you go back to the roots of why we're all doing this stuff, why you're doing what you're doing now, why I'm doing what I'm doing with music, it's about communication. It's about trying to say it. It's about trying to make contact with people and try to share our ideas with people. And, you know, that's you in this area of communications and me in the area of nonverbal communications, which is what music is after all.
Yes.
That's what we're trying to do, getting close to people's hearts, get close to people, share things that we think are important emotionally. And, you know, so anyway, I really appreciate that comment from you.
Well, and you are certainly welcome. Here's the thing. It stuck out in February when I was thinking about Nancy Wilson because a pretty pivotal birthday was coming up for her, and I have been thinking about her a lot in the past year because she lost her longtime manager and the person who pretty much oversaw her website, and we have been trying to get her included in Kennedy Center Honors because this is just long overdue. So one of those amazing remarks that I heard about Nancy in reading over and over about her is this, and I say this about Nancy because it's in regard to you, what you do instrumentally. Somebody said that Nancy was not interested in hearing the sound of her own voice, as many vocalists are. She knew that she had a certain gift. She wanted to share it, but her primary motivation was to convey the meaning or the message of the song. And if she thought that she could do that successfully, then her work was done. So, see, this is what you do. You take a song and you find worth in that song, and you try to convey the meaning of that song without words, and I hear it. I hear that what you had found when you were studying Charlie Parker, and then also in the technical expertise of somebody like Lee Morgan, who I know that you've found favor with so many years ago, you are able to do all of that by playing guitar. That's pretty rare.
Well, I mean, that's, you know, in the case of Nancy, that's a vocalist, of course, of great, you know, talent, natural talent as far as a vocalist goes, but that's somebody taking that next step. So she's going from a vocalist to being a musician, and she's getting into that next step, that next world, which really, you know, I don't know if you know, Trish, but I also do a lot of teaching, and that this interests me from the standpoint of being a teacher too, of going from just being an improviser, which is a beautiful thing about jazz, that we improvise and we can make up melodies spontaneously, and we love that, but we have to remember that it's not just about that, because improvisation is a tool. And what we do with our improvisation is we use that tool to say something unique in the context of this music and say something original and say something beautiful and say something that's important and say something that's significant and say something that's our own, you know, coming from our own hearts. And so when Nancy Wilson, you know, when we talk about her and how she doesn't want to, she's not interested in just hearing the sound of her own voice, she's a musician. She's improvising with that group to take that next step, to say something important and to say something beautiful, like we can say that in the jazz context.
And that's really pivotal from you coming from a teacher standpoint. How many hours in a given week would you think that you teach? Because I'm interested in learning of how you are teaching these days. What kinds of things are different for you now in the way of teaching than they were, say, 5 or 10 years ago?
Well, you know, of course, I'm traveling a lot these days, so I'm not always teaching, but when I'm around, when I'm at home, I'm teaching about maybe 20 hours, I would say, or maybe a little bit more than that a week. And what's different about it? Wow. I've
Got
really
to be,
become
right?
focused. Well, there's a lot of stuff. I've become focused on how we can learn to take, as I described before, that next step. I want all of my students, no matter what level they may be at, to understand that, you know, what we're doing here. We're not spending years and years and years of mastering our instruments and learning to play songs and learning to play chords and all of that just to improvise, just to fill up space. We have to be using those abilities in order to take that next step to become artists and to develop our unique voices, because that's what it's all, you know, that's if there's a grand prize in jazz, you know, the thing that you're going to win that prize for is developing your own voice, your own sound, your own way of playing. It doesn't matter how fast, how slow, all this stuff has nothing to do with it. It's about saying something and communicating. So with my students, you know, I've developed many different ways to try and help them do that. But I mean, one thing that's really fundamental is the connection between the things we play on our instruments and our voices. And I mean, literally our speaking voices, like everything that I am doing now, all of this, you know, we're human beings and we all have, every one of us has a unique voice. I mean, have you ever thought about that? That's almost like a miracle. There's billions of people on the planet. And everyone, how is it that every single one of us has a completely unique speaking voice? That's incredible when you think about it. It's like snowflakes, right?
Yes.
And yet we have millions of musicians, and very few of those, comparatively speaking, have really developed their own voice. It doesn't seem possible. We have these speaking voices that are completely unique, and yet when it comes to our instruments, it's very rare to find a musician that really has developed his own voice. So I think this connection between our speaking voices and what we play on our instruments is an awareness of that and an ability to be able to translate the dynamics of our voice to our instruments that is really key to developing our own voice on our instruments.
Oh, that's multi-layered, that statement. Oh, my gosh.
It is. It gets into a lot. I mean, I can explain a little bit more if you'd like me to, or we can leave it at that. Well, I'd be if you listen to my voice now, there's very few dynamics that we have when we're thinking about our speaking voices. One thing that you hear right now that we don't even think about it, because we understand human beings' language is an innate part of being human, and we understand the nuance of language so incredibly deeply that we don't even think about that. But okay, I'm talking about literally the way I'm talking now. So right now, if I say a phrase and I say, you know, it's great to be with you today, Trish, and my voice is going up, my voice isn't going to keep going up. I don't have to go to school and know that my voice at some point is going to come down. And if my voice is over here, I didn't have to go to speech school or anything. If my voice comes down, my voice is naturally going to come up at some point. And it might come down again, but then my voice is going to come up, and my voice is going to go up farther probably and then come down. There's a natural balance there. And when we translate that to music, we think of that as being the direction of the lines that we play.
Mm.
And to be able, as musicians, to have control over that dynamic, to take our lines whichever direction we want, and to have a balance there, like nature, the natural balance that we have with our speaking voices, that takes work. And so that's a great dynamic to have control of. And it's my theory that the greats on their instruments, if you go through the history of jazz, start with maybe Louis Armstrong and then maybe go to Coleman Hawkins and Lester Young and Charlie Parker and John Coltrane, and there are many other greats in there, but those are really the big names in jazz history. I think that the reason, you know, I always heard that these guys were great, and I understood how deeply each one of those individuals influenced the musicians of their time. I understood all of that. I read about it. I heard their music. I could hear how unique they were. But I wanted to know why. I mean, what was it about the way that these guys played that made them so unique? And I finally realized that it's that each one of those musicians, you just played Charlie Parker just a little while ago, mm-hmm. had an innate ability. They didn't go to school. They didn't think about it. They came up with an innate ability to play in an incredibly vocal way. That's why their music communicates on the level that it does, and that's why they ended up being as influential as they are. But if you take Charlie Parker, you take one of those, you were playing Bird with Strings, or any Charlie Parker record. If you take a piece of paper, and as I've done with students in the past, you take a piece of paper and just take a pencil and you say, when Charlie Parker plays a line and the line goes up, take that pencil and go up, make a line that goes up. And when he plays a line that just goes straight across, just trace the outline of the lines. And you're going to see an incredible balance there where Charlie Parker goes up, maybe go up a little more, and then comes down, maybe goes down to the bottom register and comes up, and just like speaking. So the direction of lines is one of the dynamics. Then another dynamic that you can hear right now while we're talking, and you hear this, you know, all day long, but you don't really think about it. I would call it the length of tones, the duration of tones. Because if I say something like this and I got this quick way of speaking and these notes that might be like 16th or 32nd notes, I'm not going to keep doing that all day long. Because you know better than anybody, Trish, being on the radio, that you won't have any listeners after a while. But
right.
When we do that, we have a natural balance. And we start having notes that are like this. But we're not going to talk all day long like this either. When we have some of this, we're going to go into a little bit of this. And when we have some of this, we're going to come back with a little bit of this. We have a natural balance that we understand without having had to go to speech school or be taught this. And yet, when we hear musicians, a lot of times we'll hear people play all eighth notes. They won't have a sense of a natural balance between the duration of notes. So there's two dynamics in the voice. And then there's one other, which is just, it's very philosophical. And you, being somebody that works with your voice, you understand this very well. The filling space and not filling space, the use of space. So if I'm talking like this and I've been on the radio with you for an hour and I say, there's one thing that I'd love everybody to remember and it's this. When there's space like that, it creates a vacuum and people want to know what's coming next. And so musicians, my students, need to be in touch with all those dynamics. And when we think of the dynamics of our voices, and every one of us has a different voice, but when we think of these dynamics, the different things that we can do with these voices, there's very few things. There's the direction of the lines. There's the note values that we use. There's the use of space. And then there's one other, our natural timbre, the sound, our bodies, the sound that our bodies lend to our voices. And that might be the same thing as like if I play a Gibson L5, my guitar, somebody else plays a Gretsch, somebody else plays a Fender, different amps, you know, that might be akin to the sound of our instruments, you know. But it's incredible that with only these few different devices, everybody that speaks, every person uses these few dynamics in a completely original and a completely different way. And so that's why when I work with my students about these dynamics, I tell them, I show them how taking that next step to communicating, if you are aware of these dynamics and use these dynamics in your playing, no two people can possibly use them in the same way. Everybody develops their own voice. So there's quite an explanation about that. Yeah.
My God, I've never heard anyone explain this in depth before, and it's got me truly thinking about the fact that what you're saying and then what you're not saying is this. I'm thinking of the greats in jazz, and I'm also thinking of Billie Holiday, who conversely wanted to be involved in jazz, felt led to be involved in singing because of her inspiration from instrumentation as opposed to vice versa, as opposed to instrumentalists who wanted to convey something that was inspired by them vocally. For Billie, it was the opposite. I would imagine that there is so much that you can teach a student, because what you're looking for is the intuitive grasping of what you've just explained, first of all, and how much they understand balance. This is pretty heady stuff.
I mean, and it's not so intuitive at first, but it does, like you said, it does get into some maybe subconscious areas, and then after, you know, you kick off the training wheels, people are able to think about these sorts of things and use them in their playing very, very, very naturally.
Kick off the training wheels. I like that expression. By the way, I have to tell you that there was a friend of mine on Facebook who saw you at 49 West Coffee House in Annapolis last year, and she absolutely loved you. Her name is Linda Pennington, and she's in the chat room today, especially to hear you.
I love that Linda Pennington. Yes. We did meet. I think we had met even before that. I think the first time, if I'm not mistaken, I think the first time that I met Linda was in Baltimore at Germano's. I might be wrong about that, but I think, yeah. And I'm looking forward to seeing Linda in a little while.
Yeah, because you're going to be back at Germano's in the next several days. And we might as well say it. We're getting really deep here, and I love it, but we want to make sure that we mention Germano's because that's a big deal for you.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're going to be over at Germano's on, it's a Friday night, March 21st, so it's a week from this Friday.
That's right.
As we speak. And, you know, they're over on High Street in Baltimore, and I'm going to do a duo with a great bassist, Jeff Reed. And,
oh, good.
I think it's going to be a great night. We're going to do a few things off of the new record, including Some Kind of Mean, which you just played.
We'll see
how Some Kind of Mean Jeff Reed is, and I'm sure very mean. And I'm looking forward to that because that's one of my favorite places anywhere to play. It's a great room, and I hope people are going to come out for that. And, you know, then we have the 22nd. We're going to be over in Annapolis at O'Callaghan's, and
wonderful.
That's with Victor Dvoskin. The bassist from D.C. is coming up.
Oh, and, I know Victor, yes.
Yeah, he's great. And
he's great.
23rd is at the Tabard Inn, Sunday night at the Tabard Inn at 7:30, again with Victor. Well, that's Victor Dvoskin's home, is the Tabard
Inn.
Yes,
it is.
He's been playing there, like turns it into a jazz room on Sunday nights, and he's been there for years and years. So that's going to be great, starting with Germano's.
Tabard Inn, I have to say, I used to go there with a former beau all the time. That is in a really tasty part of D.C. And speaking of tasty, the food there is off the chain. And then Germano's, they've gone through some changes just to whet your appetite. Anybody who's listening now live or will in the archives, Germano's is now a Piattini, and they have a brand new chef. So their food that was already extraordinary is just about to get more so. So if you go upstairs to the cabaret and see Joshua Breakstone, let me tell you something. You're in for multiple treats.
Yeah, no, it's great. It's great up there, and they're super friendly. They're wonderful people up there, and that's why we love to keep going back. The audience is great. The room is great. The food, you can't beat it. So
no, you can't.
I'm really looking forward to it. Yeah.
Well, I think that besides the fact that I should tell you that Linda Pennington says she's going to try to make it to Germato's to see you next Friday,
that's
good.
Great.
She's very happy. She's very happy. I think that we should play, and this is one of my other initial faves. You know, it always changes, Joshua, whenever we listen to a project. Sometimes songs hit you the first time, and then you listen to it a second or third time, the whole project, something else just hits you right over the head. And I am so digging Oscar Pettiford's Laverne Walk because you've got Mike Richmond on cello here that I thought we would play it. Is that okay by you?
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yay! Joshua Breakstone is my guest today on Hybrid Jazz, and you're about to hear something from the much acclaimed new CD with The Wind and the Rain right here. Check it out. Man, I just can't help but tell folks how much pleasure I've had in making sure that I immersed myself in With the Wind and the Rain by Joshua Breakstone these past several days. What it's just meat and potatoes jazz. And Joshua, I want you to tell us the folks that you had on this CD with you, because I absolutely crave the attention for them when people that play with you are so multidimensional on a CD. So please shout out as much as you want.
Oh, well, I mean, let's start with the – well, I guess we could start with the cellist. I mean, Mike Richmond is known as a bassist, and he picked up the cello on this. And I'll tell you, the way that this all came about was that I did two tours in Japan with this same instrumentation where we added a cello for tours over there. I came back to the United States, and I had the idea of recording that combination of instruments, and nobody was playing cello. I couldn't find a cello player. I wanted somebody that – well, there are cello players, but they come from more like a classical background or kind of a more new age or maybe free playing background. But, you know, the music that we were doing, we were paying – tribute to some of the real classic bassists who had played cello. So I needed somebody that could play within that kind of continuum. And I had been playing with Mike Richmond on bass. And I told him about the troubles I was having trying to find a cellist. And he looked at me and said, I play cello. But Mike Richmond is known as a bassist. And Mike Richmond was... Oh, so many things. He's won, I think, something like 8 Grammys with Miles Davis, and then was with Stan Getz for years. And then when Charles Mingus became sick, then Mike Richmond, yeah, like you see the old videos, you have Charles Mingus in a wheelchair leading the group. That was Mike Richmond playing the bass. And when Charles Mingus passed away, that was Mike Richmond leading that band. And has done so many things. I mean, you can't believe all this stuff that this guy has done. He was very, very close. I mean, so many wild things. He was very, very close to Ravi Shankar and toured and played with Ravi Shankar all over the world. And guys like Chet Baker, and he was with Horace Silver's group. He was with Thad Jones' Mel Lewis Jazz Orchestra.
That is some kind of resume.
Quincy
That's
Jones.
Crazy.
Wow. Oh, it is. Well, plus, here's another one for you. With all of that, these days, Mike Richmond is also a very well-known classical music soloist. And so he goes out, and he's over with the which one? I think he was with the Berlin Symphony Orchestra a little while ago, going off as a classical. So this guy's unbelievable, and then he picks up the cello. So that's Mike Richmond on the cello, not the bass. And we have on bass and drums, we have the same two musicians who were on my previous recording. No one knew, and that's Elliot Zygmunt is the drummer, and he'll always be remembered despite all of the things he does, but he'll always be remembered as having been the drummer in Bill Evans' group and on so many records with Bill Evans for many years during Bill Evans' lifetime. But he also recorded with Michele Petrucciani and worked a lot with Michele Petrucciani, which is kind of a funny coincidence because I've done two recordings over in France with Michele Petrucciani's brother, Louis Petrucciani, who's a bass player. But anyway, these things
world.
Happen in the musical world. and Elliot Zygmunt also with Toots Thielemann and a lot of Jim Hall, many other people. And then Lyle Atkinson, man, it's just all he is one of the great – he's one of the great bass players in jazz history and worked with everybody. You want to start talking about – Kenny Burrell for years, and Wynton Kelly for years, and Betty Carter, the famous Betty Carter band, and with Benny Carter, the alto player, and
Benny
I
and
mean,
Betty.
So many. Well, yeah, Benny and Betty. Anybody named Carter, he'll come. You know, I'm surprised he didn't work with Jimmy Carter. But
he might have.
He probably did.
Oh,
but,
my gosh.
Yeah, so that's the band, yeah.
Holy camoly, what a rich history. You know, among all of you, you have like 150, 200 years of profession in this unit. That's crazy. Wow.
Yeah, well, yeah, we got, you know, it's a group of like four veteran musicians. Of course, Lyle's in his, the other three guys are a little older than I am. I'm 58, and Mike is probably late 60s, as is Elliot, and Lyle is early 70s. So these guys have been playing a long time, and boy, it's an education for me every time I get a chance to play with these guys.
I'll bet, and it's so interesting. I'd like to see statistics on this, and there's probably no way to gauge it, but as time goes on, I find out in the past maybe 5-10 years or so, you see some of the jazz musicians that we have come to know maybe started out later in life than some of those who paved the way. It seems like the great cats and kitties too started out real young, and so therefore those of them that are still living have been doing this for over 30, 40, sometimes 50 decades. It's crazy.
Yeah, 50, 60 years. Well, you look at people like Barry Harris, a great
yes
piano player who I recorded with on my very first record. I mean, Barry was playing as a teenager and recording as a teenager, and Barry's 84 now. So we're talking about 7 decades.
Yes.
Not 5.
Matter of fact,
yeah.
I think it's his birthday week this week because my friend Anita King is up celebrating with him in New York. At least she was. So.
Really? Well, he played last week at the Vanguard. He had his week at the Vanguard. I'm not sure, yeah, but might be his birthday, yeah.
Wow.
I spoke to
well,
him
maybe
twice,
she's
twice last week, and I didn't say happy birthday.
Oh, well, you know what? I might be wrong. He and Anita King have known each other for a while, and she goes to visit him semi-frequently. So one of these days you'll meet Anita. And as a matter
yeah.
of fact, Anita is friends with Linda Pennington and me, so further proof, it's getting to be too small of a world.
Yeah, well, you know, everybody's – Barry is a – really? Oh, I see that Barry's birthday. Yeah, this is not his birthday week. I see this. I just looked up on a computer here, December 15th.
Okay. Oh, okay. I'm wrong.
But this is a big week for Barry because he plays 1 week every year at the Village Vanguard. So I'm sure it's
How
just
awesome.
Like a birthday party. Yeah.
Exactly. That's really awesome. And is he in good health? Would you say, Joshua?
Yeah, I think he's in great health. Yeah. I think Barry's doing really well. You know,
that's
he had a little
know.
Minor stroke a few years ago that rendered one of his hands a little strange for a little while. But I think Barry's playing beautiful, playing great. Man, what do you want, Barry Harris? Man, just that's it for me.
Know.
You know, we start talking about Barry Harris. That's my main cat. That's number one for me. Top of the list, man. Barry was always when I was a kid. Yeah.
How about that? Well, you know, I love to treasure the legends that we have with us. I just found out that Quincy Jones, whose birthday is tomorrow, he's 81. Quincy is part of a project that will be a film showcased at the Tribeca Film Festival, and this has to do with Clark Terry and the fact that Clark, who is 93, was mentoring a young man, and the young man is blind, and now Clark is not in good health, and this young man and Clark have bonded even more musically because of Clark's failing health. So I can't wait to see it. If you are in the New York area, I know you're touring all over the place, but this particular movie is called Keep On Keeping On, so keep an eye on that.
Okay.
Yeah.
For some reason, I think I heard about that. Yeah. Can I tell you and your listeners a quick Clark Terry story?
Oh, please.
Would that be? I was at St. Peter's Church, and they were doing, I can't remember what the occasion was, but in any case, we were at St. Peter's Church, and Clark Terry was there to play, among many other musicians. And Clark Terry came up, and this is a number of years ago, and, you know, you used to see Clark Terry with the trumpet standing there in front of the mic, and Clark Terry came up in a wheelchair, and he was sitting down. And the place is very quiet. Everybody's waiting for Clark to play. And Clark Terry starts counting off the song, and then he stops. And he grabs the mic, and he said, "I just want to say something before I start playing." He said, "You know, I don't know if it's okay to say this in a sanctified place like St. Peter's Church, but I hope it'll be all right. I just want to tell you that old age sucks." Then he took the microphone back and counted off the tune and started playing.
Oh, that's priceless. Oh, that was beautiful. My God. You know,
yeah.
And now that you mention it, I have to go back and do a little research, because one of the Washington, D.C. groups has been really generous in making sure everybody knew how to give to this Clark Terry Fund, because, frankly, the family could not handle all the medical bills coming their way. So now that I've talked to you, Joshua, I'll put that on my page as soon as I can in the next 24 hours. So thank you for that story.
Yeah.
Well, you know, let me just say this about you. One of the elements of your background that I absolutely love is that your sister Jill was working the lights at the Fillmore East back in the day, and you got to see some of those folks when we were all a little bit mesmerized, if you will, by Jimi Hendrix and Frank Zappa. You got to see those folks kind of up close, because you probably got in all the time. So now, fast forward, you just said your age, and actually I'm a few years older than you. What is it like now when you look back at those times and what your goals were then as a guitar player, and how happy you are to have morphed into the kind of guitarist that you are now? What has changed for you? Tell me what you're grateful for now that you have this beautiful career.
Well, this is a rough one, because I'm still stunned by the first statement that you made, that you're older than me, because you sound like you're about 17, Trish. So that's the start of that whole answer. But,
okay then. Good. Then I'll be paying you shortly.
Okay. I'll be checking the mailbox.
Okay.
Back then I started going to the Fillmore before I started playing the guitar. So, but then I had started playing the guitar. And, of course, during that time when I was still having access to the Fillmore East. And, I think there's just an enormous difference between playing rock and jazz. And this is not to put rock down or to try and exalt jazz. I just think that there's a fundamental difference between the musics. And, I just think that as far as guitar, you know, like we said before, we were talking about Nancy Wilson, and you brought up Billie Holiday, who to me is, you know, like the ultimate, and Nancy Wilson is right about there too. I mean, with rock and roll, you know, there's much more potential for like a great soloist and kind of like a backup band, you know. But for me, when I discovered jazz, and then when I learned more and more about jazz, and as I still am doing, I think, the exciting thing about jazz, you know, so many things have changed about the music, about jazz, since the beginning of jazz. There's been harmonic changes, and there's been all kinds of rhythmic changes, and there's been changes in the supremacy of different instruments, and there's been a lot of changes in the music. But, you know, there's only one thing that I can think of that never changed in jazz from the beginning till now, and that's that jazz has always been a music of group improvisation. And that, to me, is the great and fun thing about jazz. Is that you come with your own history and your own background and your own voice, but it's completely what you do on any given night or at any given moment is completely dependent on what's happening within the confines of that group. Every instrument is equal at all times. And so if you talk about, you know, things that I've developed over the years or changes in my concept from the early days when I was playing rock till now, I'd say that's probably the most important factor of all.
That's really it's so interesting to hear because, you know, first of all, I forgot how much I enjoyed your speaking voice because you really do have one of those great voices for teaching, and you could do your own radio show, by the way. I mean, I'm just saying, if you ever wanted to get off the road and don't do 50 more tours of Japan because you've done a number of them, but if you're ever off the road, you could always decide to do what Gary Burton has done. He had a radio show for a little bit. He signed a contract. He did it for a couple of months, and now he's done. But he used to play his favorites from his own collection, and he did the radio show at home. So something to think about, Joshua.
Yeah, well, you know, I'll tell you something funny is that I lived in Cincinnati for about 4 years. And when I was there, we went over to the radio station as an NPR station on the Kentucky side because Cincinnati is right on the Kentucky border.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm trying to remember what the call letter. I can't quite remember the call letters. It was associated with the university over there on the Kentucky side. But anyway, I don't recall exactly what it was. But we put together a radio show, and we were going to work on syndication. We never quite got there because everybody was busy. But we recorded 10 shows, and it was called Self Portraits in Swing.
Wow.
Each show was about a different musician, and it followed their career from their early recordings up through, you know, their entire career, and spoke about them biographically. And we have 10 hours of this stuff in the can, but that's going back a ways. We did, I think,
four shows
on Hank Mobley, about 3 shows on Lee Morgan. I think we did 2 on Grant Green. We did, I think, 2 or 3 on Barry Harris. Yeah, things like that.
Well, it's something to really ponder because you've got multiple gifts, and I know that you're going to make use of the guitar side of those gifts, that's for sure. And this hour has flown by. It's crazy, but it's true.
Yeah, it's true. When we get together, we could go we need a 24-hour show, Trish. We go
seriously. We need to do a regular hang. This is nuts. I am looking forward to making sure that I keep posting on Facebook and Twitter the fact that you're going to be at Germano's next Friday. So count on that. I will do that for you, Joshua, just because people need to hear you. So it's a labor of love. You're welcome.
And thank you again.
I wanted to play a track here. There is On With the Wind and the Rain. There are 2 songs, and those 2 songs – you have 2 writers. I wanted to play one of those tracks. Can you guess which one I'm going to play?
2 writers?
Same writer.
Is it With the Wind? Oh, well, that's going to be Kenny Dorham.
That's right.
Yeah, so it's got to be either La Villa or what was the other one that we played on the record?
Short story.
It's one or the other, yeah.
Well, I really like La Villa just because of the vibe of that, and I thought it would be a good way to go into the sunshine as we're ending the interview. So thanks for the time. I loved it that you had the time to talk to me today. This is awesome.
And I love talking to you, and any time, Trish. Really, thank you again for having me.
Oh, well, thank you for being had, okay? And we'll see you at Germano's next week, and then I'll make sure that folks know where you're going to be in Annapolis as well. So I'll be your little PR person for the next several days.
Oh, I do appreciate it so much. Yeah, and I hope I see a bunch of your listeners in addition to Linda next week too. I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, Linda just said bye-bye, and she is pretty sure she's going to see you, so look forward to her. Maybe we'll show up together. That would be a cool thing.
That'd be great.
All right, Joshua. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thanks, Trish. Take care.
Sure. You too. Joshua Breakstone with us. This is so cool. With the wind and the rain, this is really getting some major buzz. This is called La Via on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Thank you.
one of the things I love about hybrid jazz is because, you know, you can do a show like this and program it yourself, and you can take what is the best of the old and what is the best of the new and combine them and make them breathtaking side by side. So, whew, it's just one of those shows today where I'm really feeling it, and I have a couple of guests waiting in the wings, and I'm not going to tarry too much longer, but I have to tell you that I played Lee Morgan, who you just heard from 1965's Cornbread LP, a song called Ciora, played that song back-to-back with Joshua Breakstone because our guitarist, who you heard just moments ago, drew his inspiration from hearing Lee Morgan on the trumpet and translated that into guitar, which is pretty fascinating stuff. But it just goes to show you, you can get inspiration from everywhere. And Lee got his inspiration from Clifford Brown. He was playing vibraphone. He was playing alto sax. He got very excited about the idea of trumpet and Clifford. And then Dizzy Gillespie thought that this kid, Lee Morgan, was pretty cool and mentored him. I love that folks in music get involved with each other. And this is the story here. You've heard our friend Matthew Schell on the show a couple of times. Oh, that almost got into a little slippery road there. Matthew Schell on the show. Matthew always has something wonderful to tell us, always exciting news. And then I got to find out yesterday that Kenny McNeil, one of these awesome vocalists that we have in this widespread and very talented region, was going to be on the show today, as well as Matthew, because they've got something really special that they want to share. And I'm excited about this. The third person involved in this is not going to be with us, but that's cool. We'll just talk about her. Sydney Alexander is doing her thing. She's got her own little good news going on. But right now, it's with great pleasure I give you Matthew Schell and Kenny McNeil. Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey. Good, Kenny. How are you? It's good to talk to you finally.
You too. I want to thank you, Trish, for, you know, giving this song an opportunity to be heard. Really grateful and appreciative of that.
Oh, gracious. Are you kidding? Look, I was familiar with you via Matthew anyway because I actually have a track ready to go if we get a chance to do it during this hour. But, you know, you've worked with Matthew before, and I know what an extraordinary reputation Matthew has in the way of production abilities and engineering. He's got his own great MTS studio. And, Kenny, I love it that you actually have, via Twitter, that you are a creative consultant. I love that.
Oh, yeah. That's Matt appointed me to that, and I'm appreciative of that, too. Yeah, I've worked with him for years, and we've been doing this together for a long time, so I think it was time that we made it public.
I think
exactly.
that is a wonderful idea.
No one better than Kenny to, and he's also president of MTS Music.
See, you know, there's so much to know about what you do at MTS. There really is, and I don't know how the inspiration came to be for all of you to put your heads together with Sydney and go, wonder what we can do together. You want to tell me about how that all happened? Because we've definitely got a single on our hands that people need to hear. So tell me.
And first off, I'm honored that you like the single because I know you. You usually don't like pop music or anything even close to it. You actually mostly detest it. So the fact that you like honored by it. No. I know. You love real music. You love stuff with live instruments, orchestration, good jazz, hybrid. And so, no, I'm just saying all that because I feel really honored that this song connected with you. So thank you for that first off.
Well, look, here's the thing. I really do like all different kinds of music. It's just that I'm so drawn. I mean, this is called hybrid jazz for a reason. If it seems to fit, then it will. And sometimes I got to stretch it a little bit in order for it to fit. But here's what I love, and I've waxed poetic on a post or two about the song. You know this, Matthew. But this particular song with Kenny and with Sydney, it almost makes me cry thinking about it, because here is this young woman, a girl next door, if you will, with, in Sydney's case, it is a teenage version to me of Idina Menzel. She has this voice that could catapult her into superstardom. She could be part of this Disney billion-dollar industry. She could be singing princess songs. She could be on Broadway. So there's that element. And she has this wistfulness in her voice when she sings her part. Then Kenny McNeil comes in, and it's one of the most soulful, longing vocal parts of a song that I have heard in a long time. The longing,
wow. The
hope that he gives. So it's almost like a Lennon-McCartney situation. The pop and the R&B blend together to make this strong statement about young love and holding on. I could cry.
Aw.
That's very nice.
That is beautiful.
You tell her that, well, the original, most of the time, Trish, when we write and sing these songs, a lot of times it's for reference, you know, to possibly get it to a major artist or something like that. And that happened to be one of those songs after we blended it. Matt said, why don't we just keep your vocals on there?
Oh, definitely, because it's like Romeo and Juliet, seriously. It's the back and forth of, I wish, I really hope, and you can feel it. You can feel this chemistry between you. I mean, I don't know if you two were in the studio or not, but I felt like I wanted to hear the end of your story, and I hope it was happy.
Awesome.
Oh, my God. So how did it get to be? I mean, who had the song? Tell me about the song, first of all.
All right, I'll start. First off, I was in maybe 2010. Me and Kenny had just started working together. I was doing a lot of engineering. I worked every night after work and then every weekend. And the studio I worked at had me working on random things like heavy metal, and I was actually mixing a heavy metal song for
this band. Oh, yeah,
of course. And it's not my favorite genre, but, you know, I actually do love drums, and so I was finding things about it I liked, but it kind of wore me down, and I just wanted to do something else. And a producer from the West Coast who we worked with sent me a beat, and I just was really inspired by the way he orchestrated it. It wasn't this. It was actually quite different. It was just like keyboards, but nicely done. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
It just came to me like while I was sitting there frustrated about, you know, the kind of music. It's like, when am I going to get to work on, you know, my kind of music? So I just took a break and wrote all the lyrics in one sitting and in like 15 minutes. For pretty much the whole song, for like the you know, what you hear, Sydney rewrote the second and third verses, but, you know, like pretty much everything else I just wrote in that first 15 minutes. And then Kenny came through to the studio. I was like, hey, Kenny, I just came up with something. You know, I'm not a good singer. You're a good singer. You want to take a listen? He did like a take all the way through, ad-libbing and then taking what I had sung and trying to piece together my jumbled, mumbling attempt at singing. And from there, we had a couple female vocalists work it out. So we had a demo. And that demo was pretty good. We put it on an album released in 2012 called Dare to Dream. And It did pretty well, but the whole time we were like, you know, it could be better. And so recently we worked with Arun Shenoy on Genesis. And he has an orchestrator from India named Jonathan Wesley, who's just incredible. So since Genesis, I've just been working with Jonathan a lot. And I said, wait, Kenny, me and Kenny were chatting, and then I think it was either me or Kenny who came up, probably Kenny, who said, yo, Matt, why don't we see if he wants to do some strings on Inspire Me real quick, just see how it comes out. And so I sent it to Jonathan, and we paid him, and he did strings and piano and recreated so amazingly that we said, wait, we need to shop this around. So, Kenny, you continue from there.
Then we pitched it to Sydney. Well, I've heard Sydney's work already that you were working with her. And I just said, why don't you try have Sydney try it? So remember, she sang a couple of verses, and she wasn't totally involved in it yet, right? It had to grow.
Yeah, she wasn't feeling it at first. Yeah.
So then she went and did a couple more takes. She went a couple Wednesdays and worked on it, and then the last version, I was blown away. I listened to it probably 25 times, like, overnight. And I called Matt, and I said, that's it. I said, yeah, we got it.
Yep. And, wow. And so once we had something that was pretty close to finished, you know, there are actually too many effects, like too many delay effects and too many harmony layers and all this. But I had a few connections at Disney. It's funny you say that, who I
wow.
sent it to. I sent it to about four different people, and they all gave the advice just to strip the vocal effects, make it really clean and clear, and no harmonies on her parts. Leave the harmonies on the chorus because, you know, that's what makes the chorus. But on the verses, just have them very clean, clear, every word, understandable, and it will make for a better song and something that Disney might like, you know? So because our goal with making the song this way was to impress the executives at Disney and hopefully, like you said, get Sydney hired for future films. And that was our complete goal, and that's why when I went back and remixed it with Conrad, we had that in mind completely. All the feedback we got from the different people at Disney, just to make it as clean and clear, simple as possible for the verses, and then epic for the choruses. So that's, and so Sydney took their cues about everything they said and re-sang it too. And so the final version you hear was after five different recording sessions and feedback and people giving their input and helping us really, like, my thing is never, the song's never finished till you have really shared it with a few people you trust and can get their advice from. Like, Kenny is the one person I talk to about my music all the time, and that's why I made him president of my company, just because I trust him and talk to him more than anyone. But, you know, a few people like Kenny and my wife and trusted people who can really help a song be better, it's probably wise to do that before you release it to the public, because if not, the song would have had, like, too many effects and stuff, and it just wouldn't have been as good. So that's the pretty much the story behind it.
Well, here's the thing. I can't say enough about Kenny in this regard, because I think that Sydney, whether she would say so or not, but I think that she probably would, drew a lot of inspiration from Kenny and what she heard him do, because both of them, I think, Kenny, I really have to say this, I think that there is something about Sydney that brought something out in you, and there is definitely
awesome.
Something in you that brought out something in Sydney. The two of you working in tandem, I mean, it's just a no-brainer. It's what people need to hear on Top 40 radio, certainly. I mean, this is not what anyone would necessarily call a jazz song, but you know what? It's one of those songs that's multiple genre. So you have a song like this where you can almost feel that the people in the song are from two different camps, two different neighborhoods, two different people who are wanting to get together and feel this connection. People need to hear this song, because it's just something that transcends any kind of common sense, actually.
It's amazing.
It really does. I mean, I'm feeling the connection and I'm, you know, if I'm feeling it, then we always used to hear in radio that if somebody feels it, 100 or more people feel the same way. So, it is. So I think we should just shut up and play it.
Okay.
Well, thank you. Let's hear it. I'm
okay. This is Sydney Alexander, who is this star on the rise, and Kenny McNeil, who has this incredible reputation in the Washington, D.C. area and way beyond. They got together and made this single called Inspire Me with big, big, big help from Matthew Schell. Here it is on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Picture, but you make it show and you make it right. It's like I'm seeing life for the first time. I never saw the sunshine before. Used to walk past the water lilies, but now I take the time. And every day I'm so thankful that you're in my life. That you're in my life. Song. I could never see myself anywhere else. I feel
love that little trail off. I don't care what y'all say. That there is hybrid.
Thank you. Good to be accepted somewhere.
Hey, look, you got pop, you got soul, and you got classical. What else you want?
It sounded to me like it fit with your other wonderful jazz selections today, so thank you.
Well, we have had an eclectic mix today, that is for sure, and that's the way I like it because, you know, people don't necessarily think of songs going together, but you've got a feel of a song like that that is so strong with these like heart-wrenching vocals involved. And then you have Kenny, you know, coming in on top of this plaintive little wail that Sydney has. And, you know, you find me when I can't even find myself. I'm going, oh, my God, stop it. And I speak for a whole lot of females in that regard because this is the way we view our boyfriends and husbands or whatever. And that's the way it has been said to us that, you know, sometimes women are the driving force for bringing a man out of his shell. So this is like an affirmation for women. It's like a big consolation, a big comfort to hear this kind of lyric in a song that's so powerful. Oh, well, I'll just shut up now.
Hey, no, you can keep talking all day. I love what you're saying. It's spot on.
It's
well,
inspiring me.
Well, see, now that's what I had in mind. Shoot, what do you want to do with this song? Tell me what you would like to see happen with Inspire Me.
Our original goal was to see it placed in a Disney film or an animated film or something like that. Sydney's, one of her dreams is to be a Disney princess. And
aww,
we just realized that no one's really ever tried to make a pop song specifically for radio that was in the style of a Disney soundtrack sort of piece, you know? Like, of course Disney has, but they don't ever really get it on the radio. So we thought, well, Sydney's doing really well, and she likes the song now and really wants to push it with us and release it professionally on iTunes as like an actual single. We could really break ground as one of the first artists ever to do that. So the two goals, I guess, to clarify is just get in a Disney film and to have a pop hit that is classical, that can inspire
people.
others to try it too. Yeah.
Even if I can inspire, you know, one person from my journey and what I've accomplished, even if I can just inspire someone not to quit or not to give up for their following their dreams and what they want, then I'm satisfied. I'm happy.
Well, you know what? Professionally, you may do that, but you might find with this song that there is, this seems like a song that's an anthem for some couples. Do not be surprised to hear that this song is in many weddings to come. Really.
That would be beautiful.
That would be fantastic.
It really
wow.
would, because it's a young person's song. It's certainly a young couple song, but the wisdom in the song is so respectful that it seems like, and with the orchestration, which was just incredible, by the way, Matthew. Oh my God!
Oh, Jonathan Wesley. He's the man. He took our simple idea and just made it magical. So.
He really did. I just think that. Depending on who gets a hold of this, right ears at the right time, this is just going to be monumental. You know, I do.
Well, now that you've played it, I'm sure more people will be, hey, Trish Hennessy helped get this song going. We want to help it too. So,
where my money? Where my money, Matthew?
Hey, when we make money, then maybe. So we got to get this song popping first.
I understand. I completely do. Well, here's what I want you to do, because now I just saw,
okay.
While the song was playing, I did a quick search. It seems like there's a nice bounce from the Oscars. Both Pharrell and Idina Menzel are doing very well with sales after the Oscars. So it just seems like the timing is completely correct for the next step with this kind of song. And not only for Sydney, but for Kenny as well. So it might be a good idea to go see the folks that come to see Adina in her new play. She's got a new project on Broadway now.
Okay.
So a coalition of you might want to go up there and see if you can get an audience or see who's going to be in the audience that night, because you know a trove of Disney folks are always going to come visit. But, Kenny, honestly, it might pave a new road that you weren't necessarily looking for you, because I think that there is a place for your voice in this billion-dollar empire of Disney as well.
Wow.
I do.
Yeah, that is something that is something I did and that I never really thought about. But I'm open to anything right now to expand my horizons, absolutely.
Well, there is a niche right at this moment in time, and you need to fill it, because the success of Frozen was crazy, and that bodes well for the two primary characters who were women in that. But the focus also needs to be on men and what they can bring to the table, because there's going to be a new kind of creativity coming from this success. And Matthew, you're always thinking. You've got new ideas. You are on the cutting edge. Look what you did with Selena Gomez, by the way. Just have to say to folks, Selena Gomez, look up the relationship between Matthew Shell here and Selena. You're always thinking outside the box. So run with that idea. See if maybe you really can get an audience and bring Kenny into the fold, and see if both of you, actually Kenny and Sydney, can be able to give you the income that you so richly deserve, Matthew.
Hey, we're all about it. That's a beautiful idea.
It is, and I really hear it, because Kenny has this youthful voice that is very hopeful. I hear, and look, you can smack me in the head because I'm making comparisons, but people do this all the time, and I think that you
it's
both
okay.
know my heart right now. But when I hear Kenny, I hear the best of what Neo and Usher missed.
Oh, that is a huge compliment. Thank you.
Well, you have you allow yourself the emotion, and always keep that, Kenny, because when you have the emotion and you're able to carry a song like that and do a duet of sorts with a pop vocalist essentially that Sydney is, woo! It's indescribable.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And one thing, and that's how I am. One thing with as far as like emotion, yeah. If you're gonna do a ballad, like one of my things that I always go by, if you're gonna do a ballad, you have to take it all the way there. If you're gonna do a dance song or a rock song, you got to take it all the way there. That's just how I feel about when I'm recording or writing. If I'm gonna do a love ballad, I'm gonna dig deep in myself and go all the way there and not half step on it.
Well, that is why I'm going to play Another Way to Get to Heaven. I'm going to play that.
Awesome.
And make sure folks see you shine doing
awesome.
Your thing. So I really thank both of you for taking the time. And look, Sydney, I know she's doing her thing and there's exciting things in the work for her. We'll have to do this when she can be a part of this, because the next time that we're talking, there will be a key situation that will have happened to you, and you're going to want to share it with somebody. So make sure you remember me.
Your sentient Seriously. Foresight is amazing.
Well... It's just the way it is, Matthew. It's due.
I appreciate it. Yeah.
You're due. Sydney's do and Kenny's do. God knows Kenny's do.
Kenny's amazing.
he is. And I know he's been working hard behind the scenes, but it's good for him to get recognition. So anything I can do for you going forward, let me know.
Well, what you're doing today is exactly the most blessing thing you can do. Talk about it. That's the only way these songs independently are going to make it is people share it and talk about it, say what they like, say what they don't like. You know, we just appreciate it, really, truly.
I agree.
Yeah.
Well, good. I'm glad. It's really nice to be able to do what is necessary as far as pushing the music, because too many people have too many rules within their radio stations or even online endeavors. You can't have the politics involved, not when it comes to music that has to have ears to support it. So you know I'm passionate about that. So thanks.
Wonderful.
Yep. And I see that your wife, Matthew, has made
yes.
it a point to tell the world. Yay!
Oh, she's so supportive.
And best wishes to you, because the last time that I talked to you, you were still single. You weren't married yet. So I'm happy for you and Tara. I really, truly
Thank
am.
Thank you. Yes, we just got married October 25th. God is good. And I actually just wrote a song for her yesterday. I was walking from my car to work, and I guess the movement, or left, right, stimulated my brain, and I was inspired and was just thinking about her and wrote some beautiful lyrics. So next time we talk, we might have something special that I'm working on that you can be the first to let the world hear. So
I would love it. And I know that it's going to be a blessing because guess what? You and Tara were married on my late mom's birthday. So that's why I remember. So.
Oh, wow. That's great.
Yep. She will do her little...
TT, what up?
TT, what's up?
TT, what's up? Well, you guys are wonderful, and I appreciate the song so much, Kenny and Matthew. And tell Sydney that I send a big hug and wish the best for her. And we'll talk again, all of us.
Awesome. Wonderful.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Chris.
You're welcome, Kenny. And, we're going to anoint some more ears with Kenny McNeil style here from Victorious, which is a Matthew Shell project, so everybody wins.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. Talk to you soon. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you for your time.
You too. Thanks.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
All right.
Kenny McNeil and Matthew Shell. A little collaboration here that resulted in this. And this is why we call the show Hybrid, y'all. I am telling you up front, just because it's a different sort of flavor. I heard this song, and actually I heard it a while ago, but knowing that Kenny was going to be on the show, it was just real special to hear it with another set of ears. Another Way to Get to Heaven from Victorious on Hybrid Jazz.
Way to get to heaven. found another way to get to heaven. I found another way through your love. I want you, but I don't need you. But see, without you, I'm hopeless. So take me into your waterfall. But baby, don't turn your water off.
Sing it with me.
Don't turn your water off. Don't turn your water off. Don't turn your water off. Keep that fire flowing for me.
Sing it with me.
Don't turn your water off. Don't turn your water off. Don't turn your water off. Keep that fire flowing for me. I found another way to get to heaven. I found another way to get to heaven. I found another way through your love. I found another way to get to heaven. I found another way to get to heaven. I found another way through your love. I'ma hold you down, baby, now. Now it's time for us to be in love. So I'ma put it down, lay it down. Tell your mother you done found the one. I'ma hold you down, baby, now. Now it's time for us to be in love. So I'ma put it down, lay it down. Tell your mother you done found the one.
Sing it with me.
Don't turn your water off. Don't turn your water off. Don't turn your water off. Keep the fire flowing with me. I found another way to get to heaven. I found another way to get to heaven. I found another way through your love. I found another way to get to heaven. I found another way to get to heaven. I found another way through your love. I found another way to get to heaven. I found another way to get to heaven. I found another way through your love.
This is Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Thank you.
amazing. Todd Marcus and his orchestra. Todd Marcus Jazz has more information. He's one of our hometown heroes. He is amazing on bass clarinet. He is not only a leader of different kinds of efforts, be it duo or trio or quartet or larger, but he also is a public servant. In the best sense of that word, can't say enough about the talent that this man has or the heart and soul. Ma'al Salama, from his Egyptian-American roots, from his CD In Pursuit of the Ninth Man from a few years back. Before that, Kenny McNeil from the Matthew Shell collaboration called Victorious out last year. God, such a voice. Doesn't he have a voice? Oh, my God. I know Michael was listening. And thank you, Beach. And thank you, Linda. And Herbs and Spices in the chat room today. And various folks that have come and gone to hear Joshua Breakstone, who we also thank. Great day. I am going out of town, so don't bother me. Make sure you wait up. Wait for the pictures. No, it's not going to be like that. It's going to be a really cool reunion with a friend in from Tennessee. So, life is good. Look, next week, it gets better. Kevin Eubanks and Bobby Caldwell. How do you like that? Kevin before he gets to Blues Alley and Bobby before he gets to Bethesda Blues and Jazz. We'll talk to you next week. Hopefully, God willing, be safe. Have a wonderful weekend. And thanks for listening to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.